delay in one other meeting. We Sharon want to mention the people we were meeting in Fera Marseille. It was the Auditor General's office. I thought we were going to be scared. This becomes one of the series of meetings that are going to be looking into annual report. We have a number of entities flowing out of session with the department. It is that season that runs, if I'm not mistaken, up until the 22nd, the deadline in which we need to have done all of what we are studying today. We do have, in our midst, we have introduced him before, but we thought that Dr. Bosman, we should also welcome him when we, especially having to receive a report, annual report from the department. That is now, I am referring to the new Director General. His shoes are still, you know, with mud. Not in the other sense. In other words, he's still new, still fresh. Mr. Zita, Lana Zita. We've seen him. Why I'm mentioning him is because we've always been talking about, you know, a Hollywood stage that would have been in, where everybody would have been acting. We're told to be politically correct to say it's no longer Hollywood, it's Nollywood. That would have been to do with Nigeria having entered the stage of acting, or rather the stage of movie making, so to speak. In our midst, members and officials from the department, we also do have Mrs. Kurujira. Did I correct it? Did I say it correct? Kurujira. She is the country rep for Food and Agriculture Organization, which is a United Nations agency. She came this morning and coming here for the first time. She was talking to us about her experiences in the country. She's been around for 2 years. And she's glad to be with us here. There she is seated next to the whip of the ruling party. We are going to listen to the department presenting to us an annual report of work done over the past financial year. You know, having gone through this report, Mr. DG, I couldn't resist a notion, not even a notion, you know, going through it without, you know, seeing a full picture of the executive in this report. As far as we are concerned, we do have also Mr. Dutoy, a deputy minister called Dr. Pitt Mulder. And when you go through this report, there is no picture of Dr. Mulder. I do not know whether this is how things are done, as far as I'm concerned. Thing. Also, an indication of the work that he is doing. profit, everything. When you went to the secret branch of the department, I also couldn't help but observe that same spiritual mission. You look at the world, you only see there the minister and the president picture. There is no deputy minister pictures in the world. I seem to have picked up the same when I visit offices. Agriculture house. I stand corrected on that one. But it's a serious omission because we are supposed to be. I would imagine here President Zuma, when he appointed a cabinet, among others, he also appointed a deputy minister called Dr. Pete Mulder. I think it's a serious omission that has to be corrected almost with immediate effect. And also, perhaps, an apology be written to him as well on having no presence in this report. A very good and big report. We'll deal with it as we engage on it. I thought, let me just say those few words without opening up any discussion on the matter. And I trust that I speak on behalf of all the members of Parliament here, regardless of where you are seated, so that we don't belabor on the issues. We will deal with the report itself and the content thereof. But I thought, these matters must just be raised up front without, beating about the bush on them. Members, we are welcome back from our recess. I'm trusting that we've had enough rest. If any of us did have any, for those that did not have rest, I hope and trust that you had good work from home and in your contiguous areas. And we look forward to another round of engagements up until the 23rd, if I'm not mistaken, of November, upon which we will then have to go back to our constituent offices. And it's not time yet for election, Mr. Dutois. That time shall come, and we can be rougher than you. But we just keep our calm for now. You had your spell at some point, but all what brings us together is monitoring and doing our oversight. The department to be able to say there is enough food that is secured and safe for the country and its people. That's what brings us together, and that's what must focus at. And if you read food that is safe and secured, regardless as to where you're coming from, you are going to eat. And you must make sure that there is food for all. I thought with those few remarks, let us welcome everybody from research, and also welcome the department and the new DG, and we also have the new CFO, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sachwayo, and the rest of the team, the DDGs and the DDGs and the DGs, and the Chief Directors and the COOs. And, on which point now? Because
if you will allow me, I would like also just, in the beginning, support you in what you said. I think this is the first official meeting that we had with the DG. And from outside also, we would like to welcome him and congratulate him from the opposition, especially where I represent from. We are looking forward, obviously, to work with him in the interest of agriculture in the country, as well as food production, as you well have said. We have listened to the minister recently last week at the Congress of Agri-SA, and we have, I think we have really seen a new attitude, and a new sort sort of a grasping of the problems that the agriculture sector is engaging with. And from our side, we would like to wish him well, Mr. Langer, that Mr. Langer Zitta, with his work at the department, and wish him well. Thank you so much.
Without really wasting much time, members, let's allow the DG to lead us and perhaps give a brief introduction of who is here, if there is anybody new, and then we take it forward from there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and the honorable member. I once had the opportunity of being in a meeting with the Chairperson, in which after he spoke, a president of the ANC then commented that who am I to speak after Lulu Johnson? I feel that I'm in the same boat today. Who am I to be in a meeting chaired by Lulu Johnson? With that, Chairperson, thank you for the introductory remarks, and thank you, Dr. Postman, for the welcoming words. The presentation that we're going to share today is on our annual report for the financial year 2009-2010. It will cover the following areas: introduction, overview of strategic objectives for 2009 and 10, program performance, administration, production and resource management, agricultural support services, trade and agricultural development, food safety and biosecurity, forestry. Honorable members will note that there's a glaring omission here for of the marine coastal management. The reason for this is that for this financial year, the marine and coastal management section was not with us. It will have reported under the Department of Environmental Affairs. We'll also address our financials. In terms of introduction, major national events were experienced during the year under review, and they impacted on the execution of the departmental mandate. There were national elections which were held in April 2009 and an appointment of a new administration. Our department staff is new and was established last year. In terms of the five priority areas of government which were expressed in the election manifesto of the ruling party, these include the creation of decent and sustainable livelihoods, education, health, crime prevention, rural development, including land reform and food production and security. The strategic priorities for this financial year were linked to the five government priorities, which included the following: speeding up economic growth and transforming the economy to create decent work and sustainable livelihoods, rolling out massive programs to build economic and social infrastructure, strengthening the skills and human resource base, rolling out a comprehensive rural development strategy linked to land and agrarian reform and food security, pursuing the advancement of Africa, enhancing international cooperation, and ensuring that South Africa builds on its competitiveness globally. The establishment of the FMS Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries led to a major discussion process that started in July 2009. A process that was partially concluded at the end of March 2010. I'm saying partially because we're still dealing with the challenges posed by the establishment of the new department. The restructuring was only concluded during at the end of 2009-10 financial year due to the difficulties encountered with the transferring of fisheries component from DIA. The development of a sector growth plan was initiated to speed up transformation of the sector, create conducive environment to enhance the contribution of the sector to economic development, achievement, and government priorities. This sector growth plan, which was tabled for public engagement almost a month ago here in Cape Town, was our attempt to synergize the new department, but more importantly, to map out a medium-term framework for the department and sector as a whole. Coming to administration, the purpose of this area of work is to provide the department with strategic leadership and management, as well as overall administrative and performance oversight. This includes overall departmental strategy development, monitoring the implementation thereof, and then overall administration and governance. Our measurable objectives include the following: improved service delivery. In this regard, we will achieve this by implementing a coherent planning, monitoring, and evaluation system, through structured partnerships with international stakeholders, by developing communication strategies and plans for programs and projects, by improving availability, accessibility, and reliability of information and communication technology systems, through shared, accessible, and centralized knowledge systems, and by developing and implementing coherent human and financial resources policies in line with relevant national legislation. Continuing with administration, on the 31st of March 2010, the post establishment stood at 3,307 posts. Over the period under review, the vacancy rate decreased from 17.0% to 14.8%, and the turnover rate was also reduced from 9.5% to 6.8%. For the 2009 and 10 reporting period, the department obtained an unqualified audit report. All national macro condition of the state processes relating to the transfer of the forest and fisheries functions with concomitant resources to the department were concluded on the 1st of March 2010. With regard to achievements, we would say that outstanding matters related to transfer of the two functions are currently managed through agreed upon memoranda of understanding between DAF and the relevant department. We've also find the MOUs with Namibia and China. We have worked on the implementation of an agreement with China on the construction of an aquaculture center in Harib, Free State, which commenced during the year under review. The Free State provincial government is a major partner. I'd like to say, Honorable Member, that going forward, we are looking at deepening our relationship with China, but this and other developments will be presented to this August committee with the unfolding of processes. Respective joint management committees with Namibia, Zimbabwe, Kenya, and Swaziland were established. There's an MOU with FAIBI, which has been finalized regarding the tree protection and cooperative program. An MOU has also been signed with Forest South Africa, and funds have been transferred. We've given input to the UNCD and the UNFCCC meetings and participated in several SADC international meetings and workshops on challenges regarding climate change. We made a submission to FAO on the final country report towards the Global Forest Resources Assessment. We also contributed to the SADC protocol in forest implementation strategy, which is still in a draft form. The MOU with Swaziland and cross-border fires and forestry recent matter was submitted to obtain presidential minute. These undertakings exhibit our commitment to global, continental, and regional government governance challenges. With regard to Program 2, which relates to production and resource management, the purpose is to promote agricultural productivity and profitability through identification of opportunities, sustainable use and protection of land, water, and genetic resources. We've also looked at what good infrastructure to ensure household food security. We want to create an enabling environment for increased sustainable agricultural production through appropriate policies, legislation, norms and standards, and technical guidelines. We also want to facilitate the development of agricultural infrastructure and the use of agricultural resources. Other activities include auditing natural resources, controlling migratory pests, rehabilitating and protecting agricultural land. continuing again with production resources management, we can say that over the past financial year, we have sought to the establish 50 new fruit farmers on a 200 hectare farm, which has supported 52,000 seedlings of mangoes, avocados, macadamia, nuts, bananas, which resulted in creating about 100 jobs. 40 beef and 40 goat farmers were supported as new entrants in the animal improvement scheme. We developed a distributed manual for dairy farming, goat milk production, rural freshwater aquaculture, sheep production, and self care. We have also trained the sales officers in milk goat production. Excuse the typo if it's too much. We've undertaken a seed diversity fair to educate rural communities about the value of indigenous plants and the associated indigenous language. In the same period, we have awarded 2,000 export certificates. We have also created 4 food banks, which have been launched in Cape Town, Johannesburg, Durban, and Port Elizabeth, which provide meals to about 84,800 individuals per day. Agricultural land use zones were finalized in Gauteng and Limpopo provinces. A total of 61 unique zones in Gauteng and 64 unique zones in Limpopo were identified. 1,019,000 hectares of land reforms were inspected, and 254,602 hectares were found to be under sustainable natural resource management practices. A total of 14,042 beneficiaries on 748 compliant farms had adopted sustainable innovative technologies on land care programs and land reform and on land reform farms. Coming to agricultural support. Here, our purpose is to manage and coordinate sectoral education and training, agricultural research and extension services, to manage agricultural risk and disaster management, and promote broad-based black economic empowerment, and provide post-settlement support to emerging farmers. We also want to provide support and ensure access to services for farmers, agrarian reform beneficiaries, entrepreneurs, and agribusiness by increasing the number of financial institutions accredited in terms of MAFISA, providing industry-focused farmer training for beneficiaries annually over the medium term, improving the quality of extension services by increasing the number of extension officers enrolled in skills upgrading programs. In terms of achievements, we can say that 10 institutions have been accredited as the MAFISA, 8 are fully operational, and 2 are awaiting final approval. A curatorship model has been developed to assist agrarian farmers in distress. 339 clients from emerging farmers and rural entrepreneurs have received financial support amounting to 19.7 million rand. 10 state land leases supported with infrastructure of up to 1.6 million rand. Agri-BEE sector codes are in the process of being gazetted. Again, in terms of our agricultural support services, we can say and report here that 214 advisories for risk and disaster management on extreme weather warnings have been issued in the sector. 12 national awareness campaigns conducted on adaptation and mitigation for climate change have also been done. 7,495,278 hectares of state land have been disposed. 4,000 targeted farmers have received assistance from disaster relief schemes, and 2,566 beneficiaries were trained in commodity-based mentorship programs. 2,346 extension persons have been trained in various courses, and 1,615 small stock farmers have received targeted research support. You are aware, Chairperson, members, that we have develop an extensive recovery plan. That was done last year, and this has been approved to include ICT equipment, which can recruit more personnel, and can also be upgrade qualification and improve the image of extension officers. And this is being implemented with all the provinces. Research to provide technological and innovative solutions on sustainable natural resource management, livestock and crop production, and economic models was conducted and information disseminated. Farmers' Green Book and Extension Management Diary were piloted in all provinces except in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. A framework of tracking system for public investment in agricultural research was approved for implementation. Coming to the trade and agricultural development. The purpose here, Chairperson and members, is to facilitate market access for agricultural products nationally and internationally, to provide agricultural, economic, and statistical services to support economic growth and development, as well as to monitor the economic performance of the sector. Some of our objectives in this regard is to increase the number of emerging black farmers trained in agricultural marketing annually, to increase international market access for agricultural products by concluding and negotiating positions on an annual basis, to increase the level of public and private investment in agricultural development by improving the knowledge base in agricultural economics. Our achievements in this regard include a 12-monthly crop estimate report and 4 quarterly livestock estimates, which have been released. Monthly food security bulletins of South Africa were compiled and submitted to the regional early warning system unit of SADC. 4 economic analysis and forecast reports were completed and published. Statistics of fresh produce market were released. Trends in the agricultural sector for 2008-2009 were also released. An agricultural marketing policy was approved by DEXCO and amendment of the XRD program. The Director of Trade Data Resources was completed and published. Still on trade and agricultural development, our achievements here include a step-by-step export manual, which was completed and published. A contract agreement has been completed and signed with the ITC for training and export potential assessment. A second draft report was completed on the impact assessment of SADC Free Trade Agreement and European Free Trade Agreement on the sector and reviewed by management. A feasibility report on the establishment of agricultural market infrastructure for collection of fresh produce has also been completed. 7 reports on business intelligence and trade opportunities were developed and published. An update on agricultural statistics for 2010 was published on the DAF website. 6 topical reports on recent developments in the sector and its impact with regard to the current account with its declining contribution to GDP were completed. Coming to Program 5, Food and Biosecurity. The purpose of this program is to manage the risks associated with animal diseases, plant pests, food safety, genetically modified organisms, and the registration of agrochemicals, as well as to enhance trade, or in order to enhance trade. Our measurable objectives with regard to food and biosecurity include to access, improve, and maintain domestic and international markets, by ensuring compliance with plant and animal health measures, food safety measures, biosafety regulations, and the effective regulation of agrochemicals. They are to improve and maintain biosecurity risk management systems, as well as to implement initiatives such as awareness campaigns over the medium term that will improve access to biosecurity services for all beneficiaries. Our achievements in this regard include a training manual in biosecurity which was developed and are used for training. Completion of food security regulation and a draft bill on compulsory community service for veterinarians. We have also conducted several programs to determine the country's freedom from porcine diseases, industry-associated and industry-associated samples, which defray some costs. Laboratories were assessed by SANAS for accreditation to ISO 17025. Stellenbosch Lab was involved in this. We have also successfully registered import the Institution of Food Safety, Animal and Plant Health Matter. This support has led or is of the value of 10 billion in terms of turnover of the industry that has been supported by these measures. We have also effectively responded to some of the challenges facing the industry. There were two responses on Citrus Black Spot, which was sent to EU Food and Veterinary Office and dealt with by the EU Inspection Visit. We are also involved in three programs: exotic fruit flies, citrus green disease, and the grapevine phytoplasma. That's a delimiting survey for American fowl throat diseases of honeybees. According to the WTO STS agreement and international standard setting bodies, the national classification contact point ensures that we're able to communicate about risks. We have provided best diagnostic services support on regulatory services, and programs have been used to inform emerging farmers and facilitate access to export for export purposes. Various programs have been implemented, some in collaboration with PDAs for awareness, specific training, advisory exercises at 6 projects and pharmacies on food safety and biosecurity. Coming to forestry. The purpose there is to ensure the sustainable management of the Department's plantation, natural forests, indigenous forests, and woodlands to realize their social, environmental, and economic benefit by continuously administering and implementing the National Forest Act of 1998 and the National Safe and Forest Fire of 1998. The aim is to increase the contribution of the forest sector to improving livelihoods by implementing the greening program, including the million trees program, and by establishing support mechanisms for participatory forest management and community forestry. We aim to accelerate the transmission and growth of the forest sector in line with the targets in the forest sector charter by implementing the charter. Our objectives, include ensuring sustainable management of all forests to deployment of the National Forest Act, including compliance and enforcement of its provisions and related regulations and policies. Reducing the incidence of felt, forest, and mountain fires through the implementation and application of the National Felt and Forest Fire Act 2098, including policies and regulations supporting legislation. Improving the sector skills through development and implementation of the sector skills plan for the forest sector. Enhancing forest awareness and information sharing, thereby raising the profile of the sector. We also want to increase the contribution of the sector to the government objective of eradicating poverty and developing sustainable communities. We aim to accelerate the sector growth and transformation in line with broad-based black economic empowerment forest sector charter. Our achievements in this regard includes regulation for the National Forest Act, which we accounted in April last year and tabled in Parliament in November last year. There are proposed amendments to the MFA and the NVFFA, which are submitted to the DAF Legal Services. The Forest Roadmap 2030 has been developed and the process for its integration into the Departmental Sector Plan was initiated. The following strategies were developed: a forest sector SME strategy, the final draft of this, an integrated forest protection strategy, we have an interesting report, and soil log strategy, which is also a speaking platform, a forest research and development strategy, as well as a medicinal plant strategy. All of these are speaking platform. I would like to say, we want to pay particular attention to some of these new sectors, such as medicinal plants, which majority of the people of this country have not been involved in. We see this as a growth potential in which we want to mobilize people to participate in. Our achievements with regard to forest include external audits which were conducted on 11 indigenous forest estates. A sustainable forest management tool has been completed, which is called the PCIS manual. Fire project decision notices for both summer and winter rainfall regions were published. Admission of guilt fines for the National Forest Act approved by the Regional Committee of Senior Magistrates for the Western Cape. Quality principles and guidelines for control of development affecting national forests were also approved by our DECSCO. 45 fire protection associations were registered in terms of the NV and FFA, and performance of 2015 FPAs were also assessed. Our achievements include 350 licenses which are issued under the NFA using the forest licensing and tracking system. Service level agreement was signed between FIETA and WOF on basic firefighting in the Northern Cape. A national list of forest trees was published through print and e-media, and champion trees list was published for public comment. A communication strategy for the NFDRS was developed and discussed with the National Disaster Management Center for implementation purposes. Again, 350 licenses were issued under the NFA. But no, some of this thing, no. I think the only thing here that is worth reporting on is that a report on the impact of forest and poverty alleviation was submitted for design and layout, and our upper weight messages reached more than 11 million people through print and electronic media. My apologies for that type of challenge. Again, in terms of the achievement in the forest sector, we have 140 forest enterprise projects which were accepted, and the national afforestation strategy has been approved. More than a million trees were planted as part of the greening and 1 million trees program, which is for the 2010 greening strategy with an implementation plan in place. 5,000 fire act booklets, 5,000 regulation booklets, 1,000 fire management posters printed and distributed, and 9 fire awareness boards made and erected in the districts in the Western Cape. The Kato Forest was declared as the first protected woodland forest type under the National Forest Act. The national certification that was developed, it is waiting for the FSC board endorsement, and the restoration management system has been redesigned on a Microsoft Net platform. More than 200 million leaf renders were collected, and the NFA beneficiaries have been concluded. There's a list combined what is done for all the 4 agreements. A proclamation for transfer of administrative powers and functions from DAF Minister to the Minister of Water Affairs and Environment has been signed. Now, the last section is suggesting to be scientific and truthful will be handed over to the CFO, which will deal with our financial. So I'll hand over to Mr. Shazwan. He's more competent than me on this area.
Thanks, DJ. Chairperson and honorable members, the department received an unqualified report. We had some emphasis of matters that we have to deal with relating to irregular expenditure. And the irregular expenditure that the department has amounts to 15 million. And then fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 12.1 million. And then there were other matters. The department didn't perform any risk assessment in the previous year. And then the performance information that the department presented the strategic plan didn't align to what was actually reported as a department. And then also there was issue of capacity around internal audit. And then there was a forestry assets that we had inherited from Draft, those assets in terms of the fixed asset register, they were in the fixed asset register of Draft, but they wanted us to take over those fixed asset register and the assets, which we didn't agree because their fixed asset register didn't reconcile to the financial statement. Going to the next page. In terms of our spending, the department spent 3.728 million, and we allocated 3.763 billion. So all in all, 35 million was not spent by the department. Then I've got a breakdown of the 35 million of what, how it was not spent. There was a claim from the Eastern Cape of 3.9. And that claim, we have asked the National Treasury to allow us to roll it over, which they have agreed. And then we had also asked for a 15 million for the foot and mouth disease vaccine. And then the department only spent 7 million for the vaccines. And then we asked that the rollover of 8 million be made to the department, which the National Treasury also approved. And then there was a late payment that was made to a foreign membership to the consultative group on international agricultural research, and that has also been rolled over. The only amount that has not been rolled over is 3 million. So all in all, the department didn't spend 16 million instead of the 35 million. Going to the next page. And then the next page just analyzes the actual spending against the final appropriation per program. Administration spent 97.7% of their allocated amount, and then production and resource management spent 99.3%. Agricultural support service spent 99.8%. Trade and agricultural development spent 97.9%. Food safety and biosecurity spent 98.9%, and then forestry 97.4%. Then in terms of economic classification, for compensation of employees, the department spent 99.8%. For goods and services, we spent 98.5%. And then the interest and rent on land, it was 96%. Then financial transactions in assets and liabilities is 97.5%. Then transfers and subsidies is 99%, and then payments for capital assets is 94.7%. Now, in terms of contracts that have been allocated, for black entrepreneurs, 96 million was spent, which is 53%. White woman-owned enterprise, we spent 896,000. And then non-ADI enterprises, we spend 52.152 million. And then black woman-owned enterprise, it was 84.368. Thank you very much.
Through you, Chair, I just wanted to introduce the delegation that is here with me, your permission, Chair. I've got Dr. Mkhajana, who is in our production section. Mayor El Damusia, she deals with development finance. Mr. Ndombela, who has our corporate affairs. And Mr. Halls, who is our chief programs officer. Ms. Nguyen, who comes from our forestry section. And you had the CFO, Mr. Shatwayo. We have also Mr. Richard Slack, who is with the chief program there. That's our team. There's also Gigi Morokola, who is with Sage, and Mr. Joseph Bola, who is the acting DVTG for support services. It's the capital team, and if the questions are difficult, they are ready to support. Dr. Mashaba works in my office.
I almost had a shock here. I guess still having
that shock, you know, when I was reading this procurement contract, you know, one black woman owned enterprise got $84 million. And the white woman owned enterprise got $897. Sorry. Is that women or woman?
Women.
Women. Oh, woman. Woman. I read one woman. Anyway, thanks for that. Members, that is a presentation of the annual report. This is an annual report that has been tabled in Parliament, I think sometime in September, if I'm not mistaken, at the time we're out on recess. It does give us a holistic picture, and also we must bear in mind that as we go through this annual report this time around, unlike before it would have been a case where in Parliament simply listens and engages with the report, and then the report is gone. This time around, we have powers in terms of money matters. In our constitution there, you have your money bills that are being produced by the minister. Here, you have Parliament that also has a power to do something, both on the annual report and also on the budget. So part of which we are going to be doing, or expected of us, it is also to pull together recommendations going forward as Parliament, as part of what is referred to as, you know, budget recommendation report and so on and so forth. That long word. So we also must bear in mind as we engage, you know, with this report, the floor is open, members, for us to engage. I see a hand of Mr. Abram, followed by Mrs. Mabuza. I see Dr. Bosman, Mr. Tutoi, Mama Philip Masone, in that order. Thank you. Mr. Abram?
Mama wants to go first.
Mr. Abram? Mr. Abram?
Mama would like to go first.
Mr. Abram? Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, firstly, I would like to thank the DG for the report. It's a pity that the DG cannot really take total ownership of this report, being a new appointee. And I just worked out that the first time that he'll be able to take total ownership will be for the report for the period 2011-2012. Be that as it may, Chair, I would first like to thank Dr. Ampedi. She hasn't been introduced, so she is not yet. That kept her word. She promised that she would make available some trees. The trees arrived, although I must say that the trees were seedlings and I wouldn't really call them trees. And we must just remember as a department that when you allocate trees for planting on Arbor Day, you must see that the trees are of such a size that the children will not pull them out, that the trees will remain there, that they will really grow. I would like you to take note of that and thank Dr. Ampedi for having kept her word. Chairperson, to say the very least, the report is not very, very illuminating. The report says many things, but when one looks at the real outcomes, there is very little by which the outcomes can be measured. We are given a few outcomes, a couple of headlines, but I'm sure that if one goes to the ground and you really want to see what's happening, you will see very little happening in effect. Okay, I just want to make one or two very quick remarks and then move on to the financials. Firstly, Chair,
the DG says that they cannot really report on fisheries because the control of the financial controls are still in the hand of the old department. But say, in recent times, for example, here on the West Coast, there has been tremendous problems with regard to fisher folk being unable to fish for a variety of reasons. Permits not available, and that sort of thing. And there were newspaper reports that millions of rands were being allocated to assist people to tide them over. We would like to know exactly how many million was allocated, who were the beneficiaries, what sort of amounts were made available, and if the total information is not available, we would like to have that before us with the least possible delay. We would like to know who the beneficiaries were and what were the amounts that they benefited and what was the criteria applied in making that available. Secondly, Chairperson, we've read here about funding for developing farmers, blah, blah, blah. Now, Chairperson, there are many developing farmers who are now awaiting keenly in the summer rainfall areas to plow their lands and to plant. But their problem is the lack of access to funding. We would like to know from the department, at the moment reasonable rains fall in the summer rainfall area, those people will want to start planting. What measures have you got in place? This is a practical outcome. To assist those people to be able to plant so that they can at least see a crop. And the assistance that you want to provide. I have spoken to many of these people. Many of them are not looking for handouts, Chairperson. They are looking for the easy way to access funding and a very reasonable interest rate. And then, Chair, that brings me to this talk. Again, talk. That we will have a new funding model. That people cannot afford the interest rates of Mafisa. People cannot afford the commercial rates of the land bank. We will rehash the old agricultural credit board. We've been hearing this talk for the last 18 months. What has come of it? When are you going to have something on the table so that it can benefit people? Chairperson, we have currently a base surplus in our country. Just remember, things change from season to season. And many of the people in the maize belt are seriously thinking of this season planting lesser maize because of the surplus. And we hear things in the press that they're told that government must change their policy on biofuels and things like that. I want to warn, Chair, we must be very, very careful that we do not compromise food security. We need to see that we have sufficient for the requirements of our country, not only for this season, but that we should also have sufficient for the seasons when it will be dry, there will be a drought, there may not be sufficient rain, there may be too much rain, and we may have severe problems. So let us not look at quick fix solutions to get rid of the current maize surplus. What about the food banks that you have spoken here? What sort of food bank is it? Is it a food bank where government can buy up that surplus maize and make that maize part of the food bank so that when we have bad years, we will have sufficient food? Chairperson, I now want to turn to the financials. Yes, the department has had a clean audit. But, Chair, one must take note of many of the emphasis of matter that has been a part of the report of the Auditor General. And what I would like to say, Chair, that in most of these issues, in particular, the lack of internal controls and unreliability of reported performance information have been raised by the Auditor General in the past 2 years, and even before that, Chair. This is a very worrying trend, Chair, that clearly shows that the department never bothers about the Auditor General's report. Most importantly and sadly, despite having been through different accounting offices, its management still does not fully engage with the annual report, but is happy to present a cut-and-paste report from year, 1 year to the next year. And this is an aspect where the department must tell us, what are they going to do that this kind of thing does not recur in future? And then, Chair, with regard to the whole issue of the budget, I note that 1,033 million rand of the total budget of 3.8 is utilized for the compensation of employees. But there's another item here in the financial statements under the various programs. It states management. And they merely say their current payments, and they give you a figure. Transfers and subsidies, payment for capital assets. Now, I would like to know, when you have here an item like management, can you break down exactly when you say current payments? And you give a global figure. For example, in the one case, the figure as given is 1,957,000 rand. Can you tell us exactly where and how that money has been spent? Chair, with regard to the occupation-specific dispensation, so it is not new, and it has been operation for a while already in some departments. And even provinces, for example, KZN. The delay in its implementation or lack of it in DAF might be one of the contributing factors to the high turnover rate of highly skilled employees. And yes, Chair, I need to make a point, and I would like a response. We had a DG when this administration started off last year, after the elections. That DG... I think the initial report was that it was suspended. Subsequently, the DG left. Whether the DG was fired, whether the services were curtailed or ended or whatever, nobody has come to this committee to tell us what really happened. We need to know what were the circumstances under which the DG had to go. Since then, Chair, we've had 3 Hollywood actors in the position of the DG. And that, Chair, must have contributed to the instability in this department. Furthermore, Chair, we've had a situation where senior people qualified in specific dispensations were removed from their area of expertise and placed in other areas which practically had very little to do with their area of expertise. We would like to have an explanation as to why that kind of practice takes place in a department where highly skilled people are required for the sort of dispensations for which they are best trained. Chairperson, I have a few more questions, but I would rather take another bite. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. DG, it's a pity you are expected to account to what you were not part of it. And secondly, DG, you were once a member of parliament. And I'm 100% that you're not going to allow a cut and paste annual report. On production and resources management, DG, you indicated that 52,000 trees were distributed in Bembe. What are the benefits accrued from the project? And in what way has it added value to the community? And what is the state of the project as we are talking right now? Secondly, DG, can you unpack under agriculture support services where you indicated that 32 million was dispersed to 786 7 imaging. And I underline imaging. We cannot keep on talking about imaging. We need to talk about new developing farmers. Imaging, until when? Yeah? Ever since imaging, and we're talking about black women, white women, what are we saying about that? What kind of statements are they? We're talking about black. We're all South Africans. We're all made in the image of God. And it's not necessary for us to come and talk about black and white. Can you please unpack on the 32 million and what the assistant became? In this statement, DG, the document that you used for presenting, you spoke about 250 direct permanent job opportunities and also 500 indirect job opportunities. But on this authentic document that I take it to be authentic, you speak about 1,190 direct permanent job opportunities and also 1,587 indirect job opportunities. Which one is the correct statement? Can you please assist me there? Under trade and agriculture development, you say a total of 385 smallholder farmers were trained in agriculture marketing to improve their ability to market agriculture products. Chairperson, these 385 smallholder farmers, where were they trained? At which institutes? And whether they were still engaged in the field of activity for which they were trained? I'm asking this question, Chairperson, because Marketing Council have got a project with University of Stellenbosch where every May they train about 30 women, and also with Cornell in the USA where every year they trained about 80 farmers. And you're also, and there's also in Holland CBI where they also train about 80 farmers. When you speak about training these people, are you including the project of the Marketing Council, or is it a project of the Department of Agriculture? Under forestry, an estimated 1.2 million trees were planted. Can you give us details where they were planted, height of the trees, or you have given them seeds, or what is it? Can you also unpack it? Chairperson, on page 19, on the department has partnered with 10 institutions to retail Masisa funds. Can you please unpack? Give us the name of the institutions. The second bulletin, you spoke about seed companies in South Africa that exported to various countries across the world. Were these seeds developed in South Africa? Or were they really, I don't know, imported or what, I don't know. Can I be clarified on that? An amount of 170.8 million was allocated to provinces for recruitment of more extension personnel. Can you also give us a breakdown and be specific, Chairperson? Another one, you said, the last bulletin, you said, providing disaster risk information to clients for early warning risk mitigation purposes. Show us, DD, how is it done? The last, it is important to take note that because of the change in the department structure, as well as other factors outside the control of the directorate within various department programs, most of the services and deliverables could not be fully achieved. Chairperson, this in your presentation, DG, you only spoke about achievements. And to me, it says you are a perfect delivering department, because you know you achieved everything. You did not tell us about non-achievable projects. All your projects are perfect. Can we also be specific? And the last paragraph, I'll stop there. that this sentence, in order to ensure smooth and uninterrupted service delivery, as well as job security for affected staff. Did you really only look at job security or job efficiency? Can I be clarified? I'll stop here, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation of this plan and the implementation of your strategy. And I would like to start there. If you look holistically at this report, then it strikes me that it's not coherent. It doesn't bring me to the essence where we would like to see ourselves going with the agricultural sector. It's taking issues here and there, and I think my colleague has said it was cut and paste. I really would like to just point out a couple of things while I'm talking realistically, and I think we should maybe at one stage have a workshop to discuss this in detail to see where are we going with agriculture in South Africa and how are we going to get there, because the report is not really touching on those issues that is necessary to take agriculture in South Africa forward. We start off to say that we link our priorities to the five governmental priorities: economic growth, transformation, economic, social infrastructure, skills development, rural development strategy, and then obviously an African strategy. Now, in the implementation, and when we get to the agricultural side of it, we don't see these issues coming to the fore. I really find it very, very difficult to understand why we don't look at it from one side and start working from there. Secondly, in the sector, we have already got a sector plan that was worked out since 2001. It was built within the partners in the agricultural sector with government to say where are we going and have a plan on the table. And after 5 years, it was again re-evaluated. And the point that I want to make, in that plan, basically the same issues were addressed: the economic competitiveness of the sector. That is a major issue. Secondly, the transformation and the access for new people to come in. And then obviously the third one is the resource management. If we don't have those issues clearly in our minds, we are getting lost within the whole situation of implementation. Because once we get these things and we tie them up in our strategies for the department and have implementation implementation departments within the government or the Department of Agriculture to implement it, then we are really completely lost. Obviously on the administration and let me just say that I think we need at some stage with a new DG, and he's got an opportunity that is in front of him to really sit back and look at everything that is on the table to take us forward, and then say, let us structure a new plan around these issues and bring them all together so that we understand and step by step take them forward. Obviously, administration will have to tie in, and he's got a long list of administration issues there, but it will have to tie in under these specific sections. A lot of focus under administration is at the moment focusing on international issues, which is not really where the prosperity of the sector lies. It doesn't lie with the international sector. We will have to look at our own situation and say what is wrong in South Africa, and we will have to look at the issues that I've just mentioned. Our competitiveness is not correct. We cannot compete internationally. Secondly, our markets. We haven't got a market for our products. Once we say that we must have a transformation in the sector, we bring in new producers. Where are they going to go with their products if we haven't got a strategic plan on the table to take that forward? China, I would like to tell you, just look at the textile sector. The textile sector, China brought down our textile sector in South Africa. What must they do again? They are taking over Africa. Africa, they are taking over Africa for the agricultural sector. It's an issue that we will have to open our eyes to say that our prosperity does not lie with China. Our prosperity will have to be looked in
from our local situation. Production and resource management, obviously that is the issue that needed the most attention, and there's really just about nothing about the competitiveness in this report. I'm really really dissatisfied around the amount of attention that is given to production and resource management, because that is where we want to go. If we look at the purpose of production and resource management, productivity and profitability. If we cannot advance profitability in the sector, nobody will survive in South Africa. Not the commercial sector, not the new emerging people who would like to also make a profit. So it is vitally important. It cannot just say we must identify new opportunities. It says nothing. Sustainable use of and protection of our land, obviously that is a major issue that needs attention on its own, as I said before. Household food security, obviously, is the basis of all our efforts. It's not only for our own food security, but for the food security of the nation out there. We produce the food for people who haven't got gardens and those type of things. Let me just quickly run through the other issues, and those are the support services, production and support services. Our support services need, again, to be looked after. The extension services, and I've mentioned it time and again in speeches that I made in Parliament, has collapsed. We cannot rely on our extension services to take the emerging and the new farmers and by their hands and take them forward. We will have to develop a new system, a new dispensation for supporting people that come into the sector. And we will have to look at all the other opportunities and maybe opportunities that exist, like mentorships, like partnerships, people with expertise to be growing into the sector with the new people. So we will have to again look at the support services that I believe, and I have experience of it on the ground. They're not able to support at the moment. The second thing that I would like to say is the agricultural risk and disaster management system. We are sitting again today with fires in the northern Limpopo province and the Free State. Disasters that have never been so great. Nearly 400,000 hectares just in the Free State has been burned down. We have no system in place to support those people immediately, because the support is necessary immediately. I know we haven't got a implementation service for that. Training facilities. We've spoken about training facilities. The minister has said that she will again look at the colleges. Obviously, training is the most basic thing that we will have to address, and we must give a little bit more attention to that. The agri-meat sector code, you see that they say it's going to be gazetted. I don't even know whether it's been negotiated. It's not been negotiated at this stage. It cannot be gazetted if the sector doesn't buy into it, because it's an implementation of the inputs that the sector makes in agri-bee. That is what black economic empowerment is about. It cannot be dictated from the government side. You must understand that the concept and the principles of the black economic empowerment system. Food and bio-food security is obviously of vital importance. I'm worried about the situation. The report is very, very short about it. It doesn't spell out what the problems are at the moment. We're sitting with huge problems, and I do not know if we've got sufficient veterinary services and biosecurity services in place to again look at the problems that we face. The problems that we face, again, at the moment, foot and mouth disease has broken out in the Lydenburg district. Other issues that has to be attended to is not really addressed immediately and quickly enough. So we will have to give more attention to that part of our program. Sir, I can go on, but I think maybe I made my point. The last one that I would like to make is, again, on food security and development of disease control. And I know that Omnis support is not financially supported enough. I know that the ARC is not financially supported enough. And I think we will have to, before the next budget is on the table, and really give serious attention to the holistic situation of financing our agricultural sector. we fall far short of really financing what is necessary in this sector. And we need to say it constantly so that government and the other departments understand it and realize it, that we will run out of food security in South Africa if we do not put our money where our mouth is. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, Mr. DG, you're not in an easy position because you came late on this show. But if I was in your position, I would have, instead of giving out this report, I would have perhaps thought that those reporting to you, I would have asked them to draw up their failures and maybe present you with an action plan to how to alleviate this problem. In fact, as the Auditor General says, it's business as usual. And I'll just to ask you questions around this will take a long time, and also I don't think you will be able to answer all of them. But I would like to make some comments you would maybe would like to note down. I think if we look, we all look, know what the goals or the purpose of this department is, but I'm sad to say I don't think we're going to achieve it. This department will not achieve it in 1 year at least, maybe 2 years. I'll motivate it right now. If I would say that this is like a chicken running around without his head, it's an understatement, because a chicken like that cannot make a lot of damage. I'd rather say this is a monster treading all over the place without a head. If you look at a few things, the Auditor General says there's a lack of internal control, and this goes back. This goes to the HR department. Now let's just say that it says here that 42.6% of the staff qualified for performance rewards. Now I take it that must be the people who are doing the work, because it cannot be management or the top level. I would like to see actual fact who got the rewards, because we've got to pin this down. If you look at internal audit, now, just before I go to internal audit, there's a shortfall expenditure on administration of 9 million, and yet internal audit, to my mind, either doesn't function or doesn't exist properly. It doesn't function or it doesn't exist. Then if you see at another administration problem is the procurement is a problem. There's the irregular expenditure of 50 million and the fruitless and wasteful expenditure attributed to procurement. Now, if you add to this the administration is 14% vacancy. Now, if you look at the reduction, it says here that 2%, there's a 2% reduction from 17 to 15% in this year. That means that if we are doing this at the same rate, it's going to take us 2% for the next 15% in 7 years. It's going to take us 7 years to from all these positions. Then if you look at the highly skilled and upper levels, there the vacancies are 15.9%, 21.4%, and 18.6%. Now that is shocking. I mean, if we have money left over for for administration, and we don't fill these positions, then there's the critical vacancies. Veterinarians, 31%. Now, veterinarians, you just can't pluck out of the air. This guy has to, or woman has to study for 5-7 years before you can because you use them. Now, where are you going to get them in the next, you know, there's no program. As well as statisticians and related professionals, 12.5%. Now, statistics was not my strong subject. I can tell you it's one of the most difficult subjects. You're not going to get statisticians, you know, you can't kick them out of from a bush, as we say. So, I would just to sum up, I think the big problem here, and I'm not going to go into details around what we say here, the report of the Auditor General, and that is really, on the summary that we have from page 9 and 10, is really shocking. I mean, this makes for, DG, if you look at this report from the Auditor General, you have a lot of got an unqualified report. I've always said an unqualified report really doesn't say anything, you know. You will say some provinces even say that they've got unqualified reports. It doesn't really say anything because, look here, you've got 15 million irregular expenditure and you've got 12 million fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And you've got an unqualified report. So really, this unqualified report is just a slipstream. You know. It just tells you that the bad management was well reported. That's it. So anyway, to just sum up, Chairman, I think we have a problem here with manpower and skills. And unless this department would drastically give attention to this in this coming year, we're going to have the same problem. Because this is a people's-driven department. And I rest my case. Thank you.
Chairperson, yes, thank you. And thank you, DG. While I'm still looking at the programs for the forestry there, Chairperson, I think the ABBA week, every year we have the ABBA week. And I think at the end of the day, the department should know, since we have started, how many trees planted and how many trees are alive as we are speaking. They have to know that. Chairperson, I want to come to the food bank and propose to the department, DG. We do have an extra 9 tons of grain. It seems we don't know what to do with that extra. If maybe we can take that extra and put in one of those food banks, it will help the country in the near future. Financials, I just want to emphasize on what my honorable member here said. Yes, the department is unqualified, but here there is irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. What did the department do with the people or the CEO of that time? What the department has done with these people who mess up the 15 million? And again, what the department has done with the people who mess up the 12.1 million? We want to know. And the under other matters, I think one of those is risk assessment. I just want to find out why they didn't assess the risk assessment. Again, I want to know why the department failed to appear before FCOBA. On page 30, it says provinces listed to inform emerging farmers. It's just provinces. We don't know as whether it's all provinces. It just says provinces. And we do have provinces with names, or we have 9 provinces. If made at least, if they can say all provinces or so many provinces, okay? I just want to find clarity on why Gauteng and KZN were not piloted. Thank you, Chairperson. I will come back later.
Thank you. Members, let us note that we certainly, you know, had a disaster. And our condolences really must go to a number of those other families who lost their beloved ones when the cell fires went on a rampage. This is going to be in Mpumalanga, Northwest, Free State, and also Limpopo. number of livestock or animals were killed in the process, and in Mpumalanga alone you would have been talking of no less than 2,000 sheep, 52 horses, and 253 wild animals. And in the Free State alone, we would have been talking about 45 sheep, at least 120 game animals, 53 cattle, 9 horses. And in Limpopo, we would have been talking of this one black farmer who lost 15 of his herd. We have a whole range of disasters that we have since been experiencing, not only on one day, but on a few days. And again, just to belabor on the point raised by Dr. Postman, this is serious stuff, perhaps that you also might have to engage with the department going forward. Of course, it is private business, but equally, these are the people that we look upon to for our food as a country and as a nation. Okay, DG, those are the few questions that have come up. I must also mention, members, on a point raised by Dr. Postman, that we have started a process of quarterly expenditure reviews, call them reviews. And the point you are raising about a need for a strat plan also have to be seen within that context. But certainly in our program, we also have noted that we certainly do need to go through such an exercise. So it is, the program that we'll have to adopt going forward before end of November. So we are going to go out on recess. Thanks for reminding us on that one. Thank you, DG.
Let me first just lead you to the question. I think the issue of the fisheries, Mr. Select will comment on that. And then the question raised by Honorable Mabuza on the beneficiaries, Dr. Mukhajana will comment and respond to that one. Support on 32 million rand support for meeting farmers. Mr. Simula will comment on that one. Again, on trade and agriculture marketing and training, Mr. Simula will also comment on that one. On the partners to MAFISA, Ms. Elder Mthia will comment on that one. And I think on seed companies, Dr. Mukhajane. And also on extension personnel, Mr. Simula will also comment on that one. The issues of financial control, the CFO will talk to that. And the vacancies, Mr. Ndombela, will talk to those ones. And then on upper weekend trees that Mapilo asked about, Ms. Dingila is here, she will comment on this. And again, on the last question on Gauteng and case that you know, you're not part of the pilot, I think that Mr. Mona will also comment on that. But I'll take some of the questions. I think, firstly, on the issue of the funding model, okay, we are having advanced discussions around how we should deal with funding. For small scale or small holder farmers. We have got our reservations on how we have funded these farmers in the past, and there's a whole review on that. I think honorable members will agree that there is indeed a disjunction between the commitment to rural development and the funding that is available for rural development. So instead of complaining about this, we are exploring all sorts of models. And I will call upon the members here to support us in the initiatives that we'll be taking. Because on some of these initiatives, we'll need to support, but tell you as it relates to the support we'll need from the Treasury on some of the innovations that we seek to bring. So we will need some support. There is a team that we are sending, I think next week or in 2 weeks' time, to China to seek and look at what kind of partnership we can have with that country around effective funding for small-scale farmers. So we've started negotiations, but there's not enough money for this, and we need money. So instead of complaining about it, we're trying to find solutions to it. One of those is that. Also, we've had discussions with the IFAD in Rome around the support that they can also provide for small-scale farmers. It won't be much, but it will go some way in addressing this. The fundamental aspect of the funding model that we're talking about is that we want to have resources so that we can move beyond project funding and also move beyond grant funding. This is a fundamental departure we want to talk about. We want to be in a situation where every farmer who has got a plan that is supported by an extension officer and we've got a market for the product, should be able to get support, a loan, cheap money for these activities. That's the direction we want to go, because we feel that the issue of grant funding has its own difficulties. One of its challenges is that who decides on where the location of that grant should go? Okay? We need a situation where anyone who deserves it must be able to borrow money and go and farm, provided that there's a plan for what you want to do, two, that there's a market for it. So that is the kind of innovation that we're looking at, and maybe Ms. Mosia will comment more on what is heading at that question. Now, coming to the other question that Mabuza raised around achievement that we have, a perfect report. There is an addendum to this report, honorable members, which is also been suggested, called the annual report 2009-2010 presentation, challenges and corrective measures. We didn't want to take too much of the time of the members. That report, this addendum, this annexure, which is available, talk to some of the weaknesses and some of the challenges that we have. It should have been circulated. Okay? Now, I want to say also that we are acutely aware of the challenges of the effectiveness of the state, and it's not unique to us. The state in our country has got challenges around its effectiveness. One of the things we're trying to do is to bring in organizational engineers to help us design effective systems, because we think that relying only on project managers, good as they can be, is a limited outcome. We want to rethink and strengthen the capacity of the state. And to this effect, we're having a session next week for 3 days, where we're bringing our annual strategic plan for next year, and we're bringing in advanced planners with experience to help us think through how we can ensure that our systems work, how we can ensure that we have the proper alignment, and that the state can be effective. So we're looking at that, and we hope that we'll move some way in that direction. Now, coming to the issue of the challenges facing the sector, I think these are issues that were raised by Dr. Postman. We are aware, Dr. Postman, that we still have got more work to do around our production strategy. Okay? It's something that we allude to even in the sector plan that we've worked on. Dr. Mukhodjadeh is working closely on this question around how we can look at the our production strategy. Related to this is the work that the NAMC has been involved in, together with the department, using the experience of the maize surplus to look at the challenges of our sector, to look at issues of competitiveness in the sector, to look at what drives the some of the diseconomies that we experience in the sector. So we are working in that. We are working, we're not alone in this work. We are working closely with the Competition Commission so that we can look at what are the particular sectoral failures that make us not to be as competitive as we can be. It's something that we're aware of, it's something that is receiving attention. We are also hopeful, Honorable Member, that with the new organogram that has been approved, in which we have a policy, a proper policy, which we do not have. We don't have a policy in the department. We will have the kind of capacity that can help us think through what our challenges are. People who will only be working around researching issues, economic issues, etc. So we're looking at that. One of the, again, issues that we're talking about is that we want to develop proper links with the sector. There are about 26 commodities in the sector. And we want to have the situation where for each commodity, there is someone harnessed and organized to respond to that commodity. So that there's a particular point of reference, so that we do not have to want to come to the DG or to do. There's someone in the department who will work with that commodity group, look at what their problems are, and on the basis of learning by doing, help to solve some of those problems. There's a team of people who are working around creating such a synergy. It's something that we raised also with the CEO Forum last week. On the issue of extension services, a lot can be done about our extension services. When I say that, Honorable Members, I'm really putting it very much. I'm trying to be as diplomatic as I can be. I think that a lot can be done about it. Again, if we're to take the direction that we want to take on this, we need the support of Honorable Members. So some of the things we'll be bringing up may be different, may be not immediately palatable, but they may be the only way that we can. Okay? So to go in that direction, to travel some of these new paths, we will need your support around some of our views may be seen to be radical, but we think that the present location of extension officers within the department does not help us much. We don't have effective systems to manage them, and it's something that we need to look at and to improve. So if we come up with some of the ideas, we hope that you will defend us if we come in with this measure. I would like again to comment on the issue of the around biosecurity services. We should not overstate the issue of Leidenberg and the foot and mouth disease. According to the report that I've heard of our own scientists on the matter, the reports are negative. I think it's important so that there's no alarm in the industry. The blood of those animals was looked at, and the report was negative. Unless the latest information, Dr. Makata, and I don't know, but what I know is that the report from the lab that there is no foot and mouth outbreak in that area of the country. It has been checked. I'm coming to. I think basically, in terms of the question that I said, I needed to comment on. That's all I can say. And then I would invite my other colleagues to, in the order that I indicated, to take the other questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DG. A question relating to the project that were primarily targeted for alternative livelihoods
the situation around those projects is such that it centers around the transfer of the function. The function was transferred as of the 1st of April, but around the transfer of the budget, there was a delay, which the CFO probably would outline the delay in detail, that what actually caused the delay. But it's largely the logistics around treasury regulations that governs the transfer of funding from one department to the other. But there are other issues around that that seem to have actually created a problem for us, where transferring department wanted them to release that money in bits over a three-year period. The allocation was just above 200 million, which the CFO will detail the specifics as to exactly how much. During the negotiations, there were certain misunderstandings as to why certain amounts have to be left behind. And that. But in principle, in terms of the formal report, we are saying that we still are negotiating with the transferring department, which is environment, as to how that money gets transferred over. The projects were conceptualized, most of which they were still at the conceptual stage. Part of the work that we have to do now is to verify, to see if those projects are really feasible. Mainly those are aquaculture projects that were part and parcel of the social relief program. Another important issue to note is that about 4,000 applicants were received for social relief, and we could only accommodate 1,500. Through allocations in terms of benefiting through the quota system. So the 2,500 that is left out would have to be covered. Hence, I'm also supportive, actually, of what the DG emphasized, that the problems that are facing the department are massive. They are huge. These monies are very little. 200 million is quite insufficient to deal with the need out there in terms of creating alternative livelihoods for the fishing communities. Thanks.
We want to follow up on that one. Thank you.
Just a comment on the project. There was an amount of 308 million that was for the social relief projects for fisheries. And out of the 308, 213 DIA said DAF can take over because the other 95 million they were going to be cancelled. So in there, what DIA has said is that every year they will be releasing a 71.8 over a period of 3 years. Now, beginning of November or December, we would get the first crunch of 71.8 million. Thank you.
Okay. The next one, Chairperson, with your permission, will be Dr. Mukhajana, I think, on the beneficiaries in Pembe, if you can comment on that one. Or it's Mr. Hall.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to indicate that the project in Vembe, its main objective was to improve profitability of orchard production through the value chain addition. So what has happened, I would like to present it in a different format so that the members could understand exactly what is it. Though the investment has not been clarified here, I don't have the details of the investment that was done in terms of planting and how much you spend in purchasing of trees. But that investment had certain immediate effects. the 200 hectares that was granted, in other words, that increased the production area for the emerging farmers in that area. That is an immediate effect. And then the second one, the procurement of those trees in, from that area, it was not purchased outside the area, but was purchased from the local nursery. It created an income for those people who were supplying the trees of those 52,000 trees. And also, as it indicated in the report, during the planting, we created jobs for 100 people. But the impacts that are expected out of the project for future will be at least 10 permanent jobs in terms of orchard management and other administrative work that could take place from there. And also during harvesting, we expect that we'll have at least 120 workers guaranteed for harvesting job during that period. And also those people who are participating there, that will have a big impact in terms of improving their livelihoods. And also, as I've indicated, that the creation of agro-processing will have a big impact in terms of the local economy. Because as you are aware, that macadamia and mangoes are products which have got a good market at the present moment. And there's also initiative out of the communities to see how they could establish an achar-producing factory. Those discussions are on our tables. The chief is leading the process to see how we could assist them to set up the kind of structure. And again, because the mango and avocados the avocados and macadamia, they've got a very good export presence. So we expect also the area to have a big contribution in terms of export market. I think the details on how those have been structured, I think we don't have it here, but I can provide a summary and then provide to the members if there's a need. Thank you.
Chairperson, it is more, we'll talk about the disbursement to emerging farmers, 32 million.
Thank you, DG, and thank you, thanks, members. I must say that this disbursement that we're reporting here refers to a range of support that were given to entrepreneurs in the sector. And this support is in a range of training for agribusinesses so that this entrance in the sector can be supported to be viable. A range of support as per the business plan that we presented highlighted the kind of services that were requested, and in total, we actually putting a figure there that this is what has been the total amount value in terms of rent that were actually allocated to all these applicants. I also wanted to agree with the member there about the figures that were in the presentation versus those that were in the that are in the report. Indeed, yes. The correct figures are in actually the ones that are in the report. Member Mabuza, that she, the annual report itself, yes. I think, yeah, those are the correct figures. Sorry? Yes, with that I'm done, but there are other areas that I could respond to.
The other one, for Mr. Smola, is on the trade and agriculture marketing training, whether it was with an NAMC project or not, if you could comment on that as well.
On that, DG, I think I'll leave it to Mr. Morogolo to address it. Okay.
Oh, thank you, DG. There's different types of training that we provide as a department. The ones that we provide in the department is based on the AgriCETA training requirements in terms of the, we call them the NQF Level 1 and 2, National Qualification Framework 1 and 2, which is actually the most basic, you know, the ABCD of agricultural marketing, focusing into the key commodities, horticulture, grains, and the livestock products. And the one that is provided by the Marketing Council is outside of the scope of what we do as a department. It's actually an additional training program that is provided by our agency, which looks into more a bit of a much more sophisticated kind of, you know, a training program. That's why
these institutions that you mentioned, the Cornell and the other universities, are part of that. And most of the people that have been benefiting from the kind of training that provided by the department, their level of literacy is very low. And the basis of this training program was initiated, I think, around 1999-2000 in partnership with FAO. So, in summary, these are two separate, you know, training programs. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think Member Wolf
Yes, this training that we provide is agricultural marketing. It's a marketing program. Hence, I said it's the ABCD of agricultural marketing. We're looking into the basics. As I said, we're looking into the different commodities, how you market your grains, how you market livestock products, how you market horticultural products. And I said, in addition, the Marketing Council also has an additional program over and above what you are doing, but these are not running concurrently. It's a separate intervention from the NNC. Thank you.
I'd like to invite Ms. Mosia, Mafisa partner.
Thank you, Sisi, and honorable members, for your question. Who the Mafisa intermediaries are, they are actually captured in page 43 of the annual report. These institutions were actually assessed by a team which the department had set up together with Land Bank, and all of them had to be registered with the National Credit Regulator. We have NERPO. NERPO provides the loans for all farmers in livestock throughout the country. We have Peulwana. They do production loans for farmers in Gauteng and the Eastern Cape. We have Gauteng Enterprise Propeller, and their focus is in Gauteng. We have Cap Agri. Cap Agri provides production loans for farmers in the Northern Cape as well as the Western Cape. We have Hlanganani Agribusiness Finance, which assists farmers in Limpopo. Eastern Cape Rural Finance Corporation is for the Eastern Cape. And what I see, the report has not captured, but the latest intermediaries which has already been assessed and approved. We have MGK, which focuses at the Northwest, as well as MADC from Mpumalanga. And if I were to respond on what PJ also said with regard to the development finance, I think adding to what the DJ has said, yes, indeed, there is focus within the department to try and broaden access to funding for farmers. Noted is the fact that the current grant system is really not taking us to where we want to go, and ideally would want to implement the one-stop development finance model, which is taking into account lessons from the Agriculture Credit Board by the 1st of April. And as DJ has mentioned, the discussions are far. At this point in time, we are talking with Treasury to finalize the proposal that we have on the table. The challenge was financing, and we had to reprioritize looking at the current DORA fund to kickstart the one-stop development finance approach. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mosia. And then on seed companies, I think Dr. Mukhatana, you'll comment on that one. And Mr. Smula, you'll again talk on extension personnel.
Thank you, DG. I think that is captured in under page, from page 35 to 37. on the seed companies, but I think the information which is contained there, it was mainly around the issues around the export certificates which were given to some of the seed companies. It's captured there at the bottom of page 35. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. NDG. On the issue of extension personnel, I think we, as the department, have over the years recognized the challenges that our extension services is facing. And I think you, actually members will be aware that the department has developed the norms and standards which are intended to outline what are the basic services and the kind of technical expertise that are required in the extension services. And the extension services, as we, the kind of system that we have now, the personnel, the foot soldiers, are in the provinces. And with that realization, from national, we are driving an oversight kind of a program that seems to harmonize the support services from all the provinces with respect to the norms and standards. And since then, we have also put together what we call an extension recovery plan, having noticed what the problems are. And within that extension recovery plan, we are able to identify critical areas that need urgent attention. The DG has just mentioned that here we will need the bold support as we move forward. The department is currently, of course, realizing the major gaps within extension. Some of those is really, in addition to the norms and standards, a clear policy guidelines. Because if you look at the different provinces, there are various levels of expertise. Some provinces are able to cope beyond just, you know, providing services to the emerging farmers, whereas others are able to even service their commercial farmers. So we need to really to develop the extension services to an extent that we can be able to serve the entire agricultural community. And within the extension recovery plan, we are able to also have an allocation specifically to deal with simple things that an extension officer needs to have, such as the basic equipment and also the ICT that is related. We have mentioned here that there is an extension management system that all provinces are currently in the implementation phase beyond the pilot that we have reported here in the previous financial year. And Member Mabuza has mentioned Mr. Bosman about the kind of issues that are involved there. Within the ERP or the extension recovery plan, we intend to be able to make sure that all provinces identify the capacity constraints that they have, and the allocations that we have is intended to support them in recruiting more well-qualified extension officers in line with the norms and standards. And also to ensure that the professionalization of the whole extension is done with respect to the norms and standards. So indeed, currently as we speak, there are efforts that the department is driving towards improving extension services, although there are still challenges. Challenges around the basic equipment that I've mentioned, challenges also around the fact that the skills levels are not where they should be. A lot of them need training, which we are reporting here, the level of training that we have been able to do with all the extension officers. So indeed, we do have a program, but we would like to have more resources allocated to that program. Thank you.
To say, Chairman, Chair, that because of the centrality and the importance of the extension services in the new structure, we have given them a chief directorate to chief directorate level, so that proper attention to them can be given. And then the other respondents will be Mr. Ndombela on the issues of vacancies, etc. And then the last one will be our CFO. So Mr. Ndombela, if you could tell.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, honorable members. DPC has requested me to respond on the issue relating to vacancies and the high vacancy rate. I think in our introduction in the report and also in the presentation today, we specified and we upfront indicated that one of the challenges that we had during this reporting period was the amalgamation of the three major functions in the department, that is agriculture, forestry, and fisheries, to create a new department of agriculture, forestry, and fisheries. What has contributed to this vacancy rate is the issue that when the three functions were brought together, the department made a decision, which I think was a correct decision, to say that for the restructuring process to be carried through properly, and so that there is a focus on service delivery and so on, that any vacancies that come during this that came during this period, we place a I'll call it a partial moratorium on the filling of such vacancies. But it was not a total moratorium. The program manager concerned had to assess the vacancy, and if it's a critical vacancy that can be filled and which will not be affected by the restructuring process, that vacancy would be filled. So you would understand that there are vacancies that were held in abeyance during this period that were not filled. Another contributing factor is that there is a recent, it's called the National Vetting Strategy, which was proposed by the National Intelligence Agency to Cabinet together with the Department of Public Service and Administration. That strategy was adopted by Cabinet, but it has got its own, could I say, unintended consequences in terms of filling vacancies, all right? And that strategy requires that you would go through the interview process and the selection process, but before you actually come to a final decision whether you appoint a person, then you would need to go through the NIA and verify that person's criminal record so that you don't end up with appointing a person that has got a criminal record. So that is compulsory. It has to be done. The NIA would have to assist you and verify the citizenship of that person, the financial status of that person, the qualifications that that person claims to have. They need to be verified, and the previous employment record of that person. So that process takes some time. I think the reason being the capacity within the NIA itself. So it has got the result that it delays your recruitment process. So that is by way of the issue of vacancies. But in the department, I can safely say that in spite of all those challenges, right now the vacancy rate stands at about 10% as we speak now, all right? And we have instituted a system. We have a committee that monitors vacancies on a month-to-month basis. We call it the Organizational Development Committee. It monitors the vacancies and puts pressure on the responsible directors to fill those vacancies. And the reports on vacancies are also presented to the quarterly review meetings that managers hold every 3 months, and then decisions are taken at that level. Thank you.
CFO comes through. There was a question on the food banks that Mama Pilo asked about. Can Dr. Mukhajana comment on that?
Thank you, DG, honorable member. You asked about the food banks. We, as indicated in the report, we had 4 food banks established. What we want to do is to have pilots in different provinces. I think our target is about having 9 for the next coming 2 years. We are working in partnership currently with Food Bank South Africa. Ideally, we've been negotiating with the Department of Social Development. Together, we'd like to see a model where those food banks serve as a center where small-scale farmers will be able to sell their produce to the food banks. And we are looking into mechanisms on the issues around preferential procurement. So hopefully, I think, after we done the World Food Day, our intention is that, because we've been negotiating social development, is that because the two departments, the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and Social Development, are the only two departments who have funded the Food Bank South Africa, and we are negotiating on a model so that this can serve the purpose for assisting small farmers as a source for the market. Thank you.
Yeah, for future.
Thanks, Chair and DG. There was a question or a comment that was made by Honorable Abrams around the amount of compensation that I think it was 1.033 billion. My understanding of his question is that why are we having conflicting statements? But if you go to page 102 and 103, in there we classify items per program. So we've got 6 programs, so we'll classify that per program. For example, if we go to administration, whatever is under current payments, that constitute what we've got on page 104 and 105. That's for compensation of employees, goods and services, interest and rent on land, and financial transactions in assets and liabilities. And then the next line item, it says transfers and subsidies. So what I'm getting to is that if you go to the second page for transfers and or page 104, if you take the total for transfers and subsidies on page 104 and then you take the individual transfer and subsidies on the other pages, 102 and 103, they should equal. Then there was a question around the shortfall that I think it was raised by Honorable Dudoit of 9 million. The 9 million that we've got, I think it's a 9.3 million. If you look, I think he was relating to it in terms of vacancies. But if you look at it, the most variance that is there, it relates to transfers and subsidies, the ones that I was talking about that we haven't spent on them. So that caters for that. Now I want to talk about irregular and wasteful expenditure as one item. I want to bring it to the attention of the portfolio committee that there was an audit that was conducted in the department. And based on the audit that was conducted by the department, by the way, we also submitted those reports to the Auditor General. And that's how these issues of irregular and wasteful expenditure were identified. Now, the question that was raised, what is the department doing around that? I think the fact that the department is the one that has identified and taken action to see that there are issues around irregular and wasteful expenditure shows that the department is serious about that. Now, for example, if I touch on one of the items, for example, I'll use one of the irregular expenditure as an example, media world. What has happened there is that the land bank had an agreement with media world through the Agri TV on SAPC. Now, in there, what happened is that when that contract expired, the department automatically took over that agreement. But the unfortunate part, it was not a written agreement. So we were paying Media World based on a non-existing agreement. So that's why I'm saying this is what was picked by the department. I'll only use that one as an example. Then there was an issue around risk assessment. Yes, I must admit that during the 2009-10 year, risk assessment was not performed. But what has happened subsequently is that we have consulted with National Treasury. It has done a strategic risk assessment for the department. And then after that, we have engaged a service provider to engage us on the now on the operational risk assessment. And I'm happy to tell the portfolio committee that that process is ongoing, and we are hopeful that by the end of November it should be finished. And also, I must admit, from my own opinion, we are late in terms of the risk assessment. But then I think the issue of risk, it's a changing thing. So whatever risk that we'll identify now will still be applicable to the department, and it should also be relevant. So I think our risk assessment process is current. Now, issue of performance information. I think what has happened there is that we have identified objectives as a department on what we want to do. But when you look at what we offer in terms of our actual performance, it doesn't speak to what we have said we'll achieve. And we are working on that as I think we've got monitoring and evaluation team, the internal audit, and also the office of the CFO. We are working towards addressing that particular problem. Now, the last one is around internal controls. I think internal controls, we are also working on that, but I must say that the way it appears on the Auditor General report, it seems as if there are no internal controls, which I don't agree with. It's just that the areas that they looked at, there were a few areas of concerns that they raised, but then I think they should have said that on a sample basis, they are worried about internal controls. But yes, we are working on that. I think that's all from finance.
No, that will be all. That will be all from.
There were a few other questions.
The other one, I thought that I
didn't get a what else? Was something on ARC OBP. I don't think it belongs here, though. I can't remember what other questions. Mama, just to remind us of the questions. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure we'll still come to ARC. We're coming to with OBP as well.
Can we just have another?
No, not yet. We still just finalize.
Okay, one question that wasn't answered is the Agri-B 9 charter that was cadeted. I just wanted the information.
Pointed. Mama?
There's another to make a follow-up.
Can we?
Because I'm not
sure. Let's just conclude on the responses, and then we'll come back with a follow-up.
Okay.
Would just make a comment on the ARC, even if they are coming through. We are again also aware that the ARC is not yet optimally supported by government. Not alone, I think all other scientific establishments are not having enough of the support. The one positive thing about the ARC is that I think that I could make this announcement. That we are quite advanced in terms of strengthening their physical infrastructure. Okay? Advanced discussions have been had with Public Works. We are looking at using some more resources, at least at the level of their fancy equipment, their own building, etc. That is the direction that we're going. But in terms of the general support for research, it's something that I think government and the country must address. This is a challenge of the private sector in South Africa and of the public sector. It's something that South Africa as a country must talk to. We're not putting enough resources on research that are required by our level of development as a country and where we want to go. So there's a decided our ambition and our action as a country. On the issue of agri-PE, chairperson, I think Mr. Tibula can comment on it.
Thanks, DG, and thanks, members. I can report now that as of yesterday, the Agri-BE Charter Council had a meeting the whole day, and that meeting is a result of the presentation that they made last month to the Portfolio Committee. The issues that were raised there, they were trying to address a number of those. They've got several working groups that were meeting, and key among that was to make sure that they are finalizing the proposals towards gazetting the codes, the sector codes. And it is not a department in being heavy-handed on the council, but is the members of the council themselves deliberating on the issues. And at the end of yesterday's meeting, they have all agreed on a number of issues. There were key issues where they wanted to have clarity on some of the benchmarkings in terms of the codes. They have now roped in the National Agricultural Marketing Council to undertake a study. And yesterday I was part of that meeting where they made the presentation as to how they will go about to help the council to move forward on a number of issues that relate to the various to help in the implementation of the codes. So I can safely say that all members of the council are engaged. Government is part of the process, and the various industries are also party to the process. Thank you, Chair.
I would like to also comment on the issue of movement of staff in other positions. I think firstly, on the issue of former DG Ruli, I cannot comment on that. I think it's something that happened in another era, and I think that I don't think I'm qualified to comment on that. But on the issue of staff, I think in an organization like the one we have, you've got competing commitment between people with technical capacity and other challenges of the department. You have someone who, by training, may be a zoologist, who also to perform a function of a manager. And you cannot say that zoologists are only technical, and they should not have any possibility to rise both horizontal or to move vertical to the department. That would be a problematic thing. I think that one of the challenges in a modern organization, is to have no one who thinks that they are entitled to any position. Fundamental thing of being a modern society, change, and people must be equipped to deal with change. If you don't deal with change, then we're not going anywhere. So I think the shift, and we should continue. As the Director General, I feel that I would like to redeploy people at certain levels. I must be free to do that, and that should not be questioned. It is a prerogative of the office that such things happen.
Then
we'll comment on the other details on the ARC.
There was a question around ARC.
Why don't we park the ARC?
Okay.
Otherwise, it has the potential of taking some of our time. They are coming here. We are going to engage with them. I'm sure we are okay with that approach. For us.
Thank you to the Chairperson and Honourable Members. I want to respond on the tree planting for Abawi. Tree planting in the country is done in collaboration with the municipalities, CBOs, NGOs, and other government departments. We're doing that to ensure that we address the need where it is. So that is why we're doing it in collaboration with the municipalities. We rely on the councillors to identify the areas for tree planting. But last year we had a special focus for 2010 legacy, so we focused on 2010 greening, and the areas that we planted are reflected on page 68. We also continue with the, in the middle of page 68, the Upper City Award. Upper City Award last year focused in Northwest, where we had all the municipalities given an opportunity to compete in tree planting and also displaying how they can turn around the villages and townships that were barren in the past and they needed some trees. So Magwasi, Tlokwe Municipality in Potchefstroom became the winner of last year. In terms of the database, we currently have the database that could show where trees are planted. That is all the greening program. But what we do not have is the mapping, which we are currently working on to say where exactly is it something that we can display to say in Potchefstroom the trees are there and there and there. So that's what we're working on the GIS mapping. But the database is available. Thank you.
Those are the responses. I thought the CFO, when he was talking about, media world and financing of some ad space through AgriTV, I thought the CFO would also have been saying, the times are now going to be changing from 5:30 to... because you also have to have an input in the... You have an objective as to why you want to fund that space. Whether that objective is met... You see, that's where the problem is. The problem that we have is that monies that have been spent, you would not have been talking about any serious understanding. But in terms of the output, the deliverable, is a big problem. So that's what we are also expected to do going forward. I think that's what also the AG's office is also talking to you guys about. In terms of money being spent, 98% whatever sum. But in terms of the actual delivery, we could be talking here 2%. Now, these two do not therefore match. You therefore are seriously not talking about value for money in that regard. Just to make one example, out of that AgriTV space or art space that you are continuously supporting, which does not talk to people out there who really matter most and also who have an interest of getting into that agriculture space as well, not only those who are there already in the space. I think those are the kind of issues there. Perhaps if you could, in your next, presentation or strategy you're coming up with, you could address that issue. Last time we addressed it, you simply wished it away. There are problems, there are issues. It added there. I think we really need to get onto it. It's just one example. Dr. Bosman, Mama Mambuza, We unfortunately had an apology. Mr. Gera had to leave to attend to other matters. And then I did not announce the apology from Mrs. Carter and also from Mr. Dicitello from UCDP, who unfortunately had to attend to some other engagements in Johannesburg.
Okay, thank you. I will be brief. Thank you for approaching us for the planting of the trees for the members of the portfolio committee. I just wanted to make sure, because we haven't received ours yet, that they contacted us to find out where it must be delivered to our local councillors. And yesterday they phoned again to make sure that it should be delivered, but then they wanted to know who's going to pay for it. So I didn't. There must be a mistake somewhere. Can I just have clarity on that before I forget? Because maybe I should speak to somebody afterwards. Just one or two issues that still worries me. On the production side, and I want to come back to that again. I see there's a auditing of natural resources.
maybe we should just get a little bit more information. What is the program available on it? And then they want to obviously protect agricultural land, which we totally agree with. There's also another issue of this zoning. I can't really understand where does this agricultural land use zones fall into this picture. And we must maybe get a little bit more clarity on it. Where does Act 70 comes into the picture? Because there are now different things that they're talking about. Obviously, we should protect agricultural land and the productive, especially the high productive land for agricultural use. And that should be emerged in this sort of strategy that we have. But first of all, obviously, we must have an auditing. We must know what is happening. And the other question is also on production support by some of the departments in the department. And I would specifically refer to two of the issues that worried me. On the animal improvement schemes, the information that we have is that the animal improvement schemes is really lacking support and people that are working in it, expertise and so on to do it. I want to find out what is happening with the animal improvement scheme as well as the milk recording scheme, because the milk recording scheme has got another problem. IBC has gone into a contract with the department to run the milk, to liaise within the department, with the department and the producers on the one side. And apparently, to my information, the department is not doing its part of the delivering of the distribution and the implementation of the scheme, the calculations that must be done with it and giving back the information. And what has happened is that they are not handing over the money at the moment because of lack of support. And I want to maybe find out if I must specifically speak to the DG, because I don't think if he will know exactly what is going on, but I've got all the information, and maybe we should set up a meeting if we cannot have the information at this stage, because it's rather urgent. We really need urgently look at these two aspects. Thank you,
sir. Thank you. We only have two questions, the person trying to see how best we can, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. DG, I've written a note to you to say a lot of questions are too general. They are not specific. Chairperson, on the 10% vacancy rate, yes, 10% is acceptable. But it's possible to fill a post within 3 months if it's level, if it's from level 1 up to level 11. So the explanation that has been given about NPA capacity and all that, I don't accept that, Chairperson. I want to put it on record. I don't accept that long, winding response. Secondly, Chairperson, on the seed companies, I wanted to be informed whether these seeds were developed here in South Africa, or they were imported, and the answer was not given to me. I didn't want the certificates that were given to the companies. I wanted to know whether the seeds were developed in South Africa or not.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm not expecting responses to what I'm going to say now. I would like the officials to take note of them, and I would like the secretaries to please follow it up in writing. Chairperson, I must say that at best, the majority of the responses have been very, very wishy-washy. We have asked certain direct questions. We want to know regarding the beneficiaries for the fishing, the people that are in distress. We said that we would like to have a list of the beneficiaries. What were the sort of amounts that were given to those people? We reiterate, that's what we want. Then, Chair, this business of this one-stop financing model, my sister at the end there responded, saying that we are looking at this, we are looking at that. In April only will we be putting something in place. Chairperson, there are resource-poor developmental farmers who want to plant in the season that is going to start within a matter of days. They want to know in what way can the department help them. Tell us you can't help them so that we can tell them that. Forget about this business of wishy-washiness. Let us be open, let us be direct. Tell people the way it is. Don't give people unnecessary hope. Then, Chair, issue of the ARC. I just want to say, Chair, that the capacity at the ARC is zilch. The result is private institutions are not going to the ARC to be assisted. They rather have their own research capacity. And I want to warn, Chair, I'm not a prophet. One of these fine days, you are going to lose all your best scientists and researchers because they'll be looking for new pastures inside the country in private capacities as well as out of the country in other countries. Then, Chair, with regard to I have sympathy for the DG that he cannot comment on the situation of the departure of the previous DG. But remember that this Parliament approved the payment of salaries for all the officials of the department. This Parliament has the right to want to know why did a particular official go. And it is within our right to ask, and if the DG cannot respond, whoever can respond must do so. We want responses to all these in writing. Chair, with regard to the biofuel issue, an important issue because on the one hand we're sitting with a major surplus of maize. There was no response. Question I asked is, shouldn't government think strategically in terms of the possibility of drought and not allow the utilization of maize for any other purposes but for food by buying up that maize that's available and creating a food bank of maize? I think my understanding of a food bank and what has been explained are two different things. Let us come on the same planet. Chair, game farming is taking away valuable agricultural land. And once it goes for game farming, Chair, if you're applying and it goes for game farming, you're gone. It will take years before you can make it productive. And the part of the world where you come from, Chair, especially in the Somerset East area, which used to be one of your top farming areas, majority of the farms have become game farms. You have a sheep farmer right next door and a game farm next door. The predators are getting this poor guy out of existence. We must look at that very seriously, whether there shouldn't be a system where anybody wants to establish a game farm which is more a business, Chair, than really farming. You know, plenty of hunting and things like that. Whether there shouldn't be certain measures in place before we allow a game farm to flourish. Fire disaster you spoke of, Chair. We heard nothing. No response. Where in the hell, Chair, are you going to put somebody in Eke in place to get to these people and assist them? I mean, a resource poor farmer, even if he loses one cow, it's one cow too many. One sheep, it's one sheep too many. We want some positive response from you. That listen, we have a lot of this, ABCD, this is what we are doing. Send this to us in writing. Chair, finally, asset register. We haven't questioned the department on an asset register for years now. We would like to know whether you have an asset register. If so, can we have a copy? Chair, finally, I want to conclude with this quote. It was said by somebody that knows this game. No legislation, no new plan or whichever draconian measure, and no budget can contribute to successful transformation in agriculture and land ownership. If we do not have officials with the competence, the discipline, and integrity to make it work. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Partly, I'm covered by my honorable member here. Concerning food bank. The answer I got is it doesn't tie, it doesn't go together, because Dr. Mahajan never said anything about the surplus. And I did not hear anything from my question, which I said, why department failed to appear before SCOPA. I did not hear anything. And again, on irregular expenditure of 15 million and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, yes, Mr. Kassel said his department who found out that. And what do they do? If it's you, CEO, who mess up this fund, what are you planning to do about yourself? How is the department going to recover the loss? It's what I want to hear. Thank you.
Taken, Mama, Tola.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to join the comrades who feel that the report is vague, not specific, and this causes a lot of uncertainty. The question, for instance, on vacancies, there was no direct answer to assure us when are those vacancies going to be filled up. The report that says there is a monitoring, there's a report on quarterly basis, doesn't answer the question. And also the vision, Chairperson. When you look at the vision, it's not clear. Can the department unpack this vision? Thank you.
Members, although the question, TG, that, you know, we have I hear you about the Agri PPPEE charter processes, gazetting and so on and so forth. In our last engagement, we did make it clear that by end of the year, you need to have been able to conclude on those processes. So that's one point. A mentioning was made about the social relief and the 308 and the 95 million that might have to be cancelled or is cancelled. When we did a visit in the coastal town of St. Helena Bay, and one of the issues that arose there was about that very issue. That relief has since been shut down. And the point was made that, of course, not only in the West Coast, it is a problem also along the other coastal towns. Personally, I was spoken to by one fellow who is literally on the verge of losing his boat because of some quota that has since been reduced. Expected to have been given to other black participants. To his surprise, that was given to other white business people in the same industry. Now, these are the kind of issues that we are really talking about. You are correct, Mr. Abram, in saying the report on the former DG's situation and the ultimate departure has to come to the committee in writing. If none of you can bring that to... On the transfer of forestry assets to a point where that also talks to challenges, I would imagine, even in your own financial reporting. Because I would imagine here You have your PMFA that guides all of those processes. Ultimately, as part of their handover, you know, to finally get to pass the function to your. We would equally be concerned and rather keen to get a sense as to, you know, the timeline. One of the other challenges that we have here is that, you know, we get to, and of course, it is also one of our major problems with in relation to, you know, our own system. You know, resolutions are passed here. In a week's time or two, we're expected to get a feedback in writing. And time goes by, we never get any feedback. I must also mention to you that I think, if I'm not mistaken, in 2 weeks' time, we are certainly going to be going through all our minutes and look at all the resolutions that we are adopted and track them for implementation. And when we do that, we shall be coming back to you. So it becomes very important, therefore, that we are able to get some of those feedbacks. It's not a threat, really, but it is one of the practices that we are adopting going forward as a parliamentary committee. I thought you'd also say something as part of your report on the predators that are seriously ravishing the livestock, to be more direct, to a point where it even goes beyond stock theft. That's what you know, the business people are telling us out there. Now, we are equally informed that between your department and also Environment Department, there are norms and standards that are being set, which are unfortunately going to criminalize any farmer shooting any jackal or any such, you know, predator. Now, that then is going to be a major challenge because you are expected to also say to yourself, the farmer must flourish. That's what we say. But what happens here when we are going to... We're not talking, Mr. Tutoya, about the farmer in Jansenville who shot a young boy thinking that it was a dog. We're not talking about that.
Why do you have to...
We're not talking about those kind of things. We're talking about, you know, a jackal. And a jackal, you can see, there is a jackal and so on. It's not a dog, but it's a young person. We're not making any references to those kind of things. I think those are the issues, members, and also... And the very last point, DG, the pieces of legislation that must come here. From time to time, reference is being made about, you know, this piece of legislation is in a process and at an advanced stage. And, you know, we also got to hear that at some point, a number of legislations needed overhauling. Whether you're going to be talking about also piece of legislation that has to do with, you know, our own role as parliament towards appointments of boards of some of these agencies that are responsible to yourself. Land bank included, because it did say something about the agency of such, PPECD, OBP, you name them. These are all legislation that seriously need overhauling. They say very little about our role as parliament, save for, you know, an honorary responsibility of the chair having to come almost at the very tail end and put a stamp, you know, it was the role was fulfilled. And, thank you.
Thank you. Firstly, on the on the issue of the vacancy rate, I think that I would like to say, Member Booth, that we will try and we can see, we are aware of the actions of the matter, and we're happy that the portfolio committee is raising these things firmly, that it cannot be business as usual about the filling of vacancies. We think that it's actually in a positive light. I can make a commitment that we will blow up here, because not filling these vacancies means that people who could have jobs were not having a job. And I think that is not something that is acceptable. We cannot proceed as if it's normal. The issue of the seed companies, the seeds were from South Africa. They were all propagated here and were sold outside the country. On the issue of Honorable Abraham, of DG Nguli, the reason why I was reluctant to comment on it, that I don't think this is proper for one to talk about 27 at a political level, I think at a personal level. But to the extent that God wanted the fact, will give you the fact, they will return to you. With regard to the issue of fisheries, the issue of fisheries is actually not a difficult one. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for that timely correction. With regard to the issue of fisheries, is a very straightforward issue. Mine was allocated to deal with fishing communities that were badly affected, either by the allocation and some of the challenges of those fishing communities. The difficulty that we have is that not all of that money was given to us. And we're having claims on the mandate without the resources to respond to those claims. And the claims are legitimate, the resources are yet to come to us. I think, to put it simplistically, what we're dealing with is something that is occupying us, and we are going to get to this. We are already planning for discussions with DIA around this matter. And I'm happy again that the Parliament and the Portfolio Committee raises these matters. It gives us far more weight in our negotiations with our colleagues. On the issue of the planting season, Honorable Abraham, I think that we would want specifics. We will see what we can do. Okay? The thing about saying that we need to help people, it's important, it's what comes close to our heart. But it does bring us back to the era of guns, which we are trying to move away from. We want a situation where if people are giving money by government development finance institutions, they pay back. Because, as I say, I think this is something that I would hope honorable members can take to heart. Grants of the sort that we are giving agriculture are, by definition, excuse my language, reactionary. Because whom do you choose to give and whom do you not give? Okay? It is not democratic. We want a situation where all South Africans could be entitled to get money if they've got a plan and they've got a market, and if the whole process is certified by a competent extension officer. But we'll look at this specific issue, but understand that we are assisting. It's not what the future of the sector is going to be. That's giving grants to people. We want people to take risk and to take insurance. If those insurances must be adapted to their level of social and economic being, that should be the direction. If we need new instruments to deal with the people participating in the market mechanism supported by the state, let's look at those new challenges that face us. On the issue of the ARC capacity, I know you were saying that you should write a response. I think that is an important issue that we need to respond to. The lack of capacity of the ARC has to do with former ARC people who left the ARC because of the onset of the democratic campaign. Okay? It's not accidental that there's a correspondence between the schemes lost of the ARC and the democratic period. Okay? So we must first understand that. It was something that has to do with the fact that the majority of South Africans are governing the country. Okay? And people they took actually stole intellectual property of the ARC and established these private companies. So it's something that cannot be celebrated. It's something that is sad. We do not have much to do about it, but it's a sad development. We are saying this, and I'm saying this again, Chairperson. The issue of the allocation of resources to research is not something specific to agriculture. It's a challenge for the entire country. And maybe honourable members, we want to open up a debate on this question in Parliament, so that we look at what should be the percentage of the gross domestic product that is allocated to research in our country. As it is meagre and undermines the ambitions of the country. And it's a challenge for all of us. On the issue of biofuel, we have got to, you see, the agricultural sector in our country is market-based. Okay? People participate in it, do not do it because they are committed to food security. Food security there is an unintended consequence of the activities. These are people who want to make money through agriculture. So let's be clear on that. They are not committed to food security. It just happens to be one of the things that happens because of their own commitment to themselves. Okay? They are business people. Now, what we are saying is they tell us that presently, if we sell our maize as in terms of the present market conditions, we will not make money. We would rather keep it and sell it when we can make money. Now, the challenge that we have is how do we ensure that they can plant the following year? And not say because the conditions were there this year, they're not going to invest in maize the following year. One of the things, one of the potential outlets for that, to ensure that the agricultural wheel is moving, is for us to explore biofuel. The sector wants it, maybe with the upper arm that may not want it, for the upper, but the sector is interested in it. What it would mean, and I've said this also to the sugar industry, that we are open to open up discussions. It means more regulation, because what Honorable Abraham is raising about is important. We've got to ensure that there's food security. So it means more regulation than less regulation. But we cannot stop and not explore biofuels because of fear of food security. We want to defend food security, but we also want to keep our farmers in business. So that's the kind of compromise and contradiction that we have to manage. On the issue of game farming, okay, Ms. Dr. Mukhachana will talk about the predators, but I do want to say that I think again it's an important issue, very important issue, in which maybe policy may be needed. I don't think that there's policy on this matter to guide us. How do we look to strike the balance between lucrative game farming, underlying lucrative, and agriculture? How do you manage that? Because these are competing interests. Okay? So I think that we may have to have a policy on the matter. I'll allow Dr. Mukhachana to come in later on the matter. Then on fire disaster, again, an important issue. I think that there are teams that we have that relate to issue of disaster management. We will have to visit those areas if maybe the problems have not already done so. And there are systems in place to deal with the disaster. It's not something that's not our invention. If there's a disaster that's detected in a particular area, Treasury has got resources to respond to that initiative, to that substitution. So it's something that we'll look at. I want to say in conclusion from my side that we see our relationship with Parliament as actually a mutually reinforcing one. Okay? I'm not saying this for propaganda purposes. The issues that are going to the heart of members of Parliament are actually, in most cases, the issues that are in the interest of the country. Okay? And we will not be doing our job if we're not listening to this. We are equally interested, Chairperson, to your minutes. We will also do our own exercise of looking at your minutes to get us what are the key issues that this particular Parliament has been interested in, and we will equally respond to you and tell you that this is what we can do on this one, this is what we cannot do on it. Thank you very much. Dr. Mukhachana, the CFO, will comment on the asset register.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, DG. I'll only comment on the questions which the DG has asked me because I think he answered the question of the seed developer. But just to add on the issue of the food bank, I think let's differentiate the food bank from the food reserve. We know very well that most of the silos in the country in the private sector. Governments play no role in terms of the food reserve. And this is a discussion since the May surplus we are discussing with AgriSA on the management of the food reserves in the country. Because, yes, there's that challenge that when, for instance, in the May surplus, information which we have received as a department is that most of the small farmers are actually affected about this issue on the food reserve. But I think the other part is that there's been a lot of debate, it's not only in South Africa, on the food reserve issue. The food reserves, like silos and the other methodologies of storing food in the country, the debate has gone even to the SADC level, where I think an analysis was done and a report was actually released where they talked more on the issues about the cost implications of that, particularly during the disaster, because it's very expensive to keep up the silos. And I think that's why now we are negotiating with AgriSA and other role players to ensure that in the future we are not sitting in the situation which we are sitting into. So I think the DG has talked about the balancing of policies with regard to biofuel and food security. I will not touch on that. On the issue of the production in the country, Honorable Bosman spoke about the issue about animal improvement, food, milk recording skills, and everything like that, what the ARC are doing. You'd remember, colleague, that honorable members, I think, what occurred was that the ARC as an institution had scientists in the institution who, some of them, went to the private sector. The ARC, particularly when it comes to Stadbook, and I would like to indicate that for the fact that we are coming on the 26th of October to come and make a presentation on Stadbook, the department has decided that when Stadbook comes to see you, ARC and the department will be there so that we deal with this matter properly. Because what is happening is that when you go to Stadbook, they say something else. When you go over to the ARC, something else. The issue here is that you find that the scientists left the ARC, they went into the private sector. The ARC was forced into a situation where there are these schemes of the government, that is the animal improvement schemes and the micro code scheme, were actually allocated to ARC to do on behalf of government. ARC was forced, because of the departure of the scientists, was forced to give over and subcontract some of these institutions. So it's very important that let us debate this on the 26th so that we are in a position to find a solution. On the issue of the game farming, currently what is happening is that game farming is the responsibility of environment. We participate in the discussions with them, and we have agreed now, made an agreement that they cannot come up with regulations which focuses only on biodiversity but don't look into other issues like, for instance, the impact and the interface of game farming on livestock development. We currently have stopped some of the regulations which they wanted to publicize, and we are making contribution and commenting on those biodiversity regulations. I think we can report in detail in 10 steps of the specifics of those regulations. However, we have made an agreement with them that we need to have that game farming should come to agriculture, because game farming is an activity. It should not only focus on the issues of biodiversity and tourism, but it look into the contribution of game farming into food production, like, for instance, ostrich meat and other products like springbok, which actually contribute positively to food production. Thank you, DG.
Thank you. Jefferson, I just want to give an overview on the question that was raised regarding the land zoning. If you look at into the history of South Africa, it became competitive because of conservation of our resources, water and soil. So what has happened over the last years, there's been a lack of control over those issues. So, as a department, we took a decision that I think we need to start identifying all the high potential areas, and we ensure that we protect those high potential soils. And also areas that need serious conservation, we protect them so that we cannot go down. That process will lead us to a proper land risk assessment, which will also help us in every province. Like if you go to Limpopo and Gauteng, they can tell you exactly where they can grow maize, where they can grow soybean, without any doubt, not because of that exercise that has been done. So this exercise has to be done to other provinces. And that will help us to have a more focused agricultural agenda, because we know exactly where to produce, what to produce, when to produce those things, and what you need to do to ensure that you conserve those areas. Thanks.
Chairperson and the members, there was a question around the asset register. If you allow me to combine that with the transfer of forestry assets, please. The department has an asset register and will offer the members the asset register. Now, with the transfer of forestry assets, the reason why we haven't taken over the forestry assets, the only ones that we have taken relate to the plantations. I just need to confirm that. But other assets we haven't taken over. Now, Section 42 of the PFMA requires us to sign off if we are happy with the asset register. Now, in our case, what had happened is that we received an asset register which did not reconcile to the amounts that were appearing in the financial statements. Now, unfortunately for me, is I cannot take responsibility for something that doesn't balance. And also the fact that our DG and the DG of Water Affairs didn't sign off. So as such, we are still in negotiations in terms of getting the correct figures, because we cannot take over incorrect figures into our financial statements. I hope that answers your question. And then there was an issue around the appearance in scope. I think it was raised by Honorable Member Pilizo. Ma'am, I must confirm that if we are called to scope, we'll appear without fear. We have not been called to scope to appear for this particular financial year. But if we get called, yes, we'll go to scope. Then in terms of the issue of irregular and wasteful expenditure, ma'am, I would recommend that maybe when this audit has been finalized, because it was called for by the minister, when the report is made public by the minister, would also make it available to this portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have your last point before I make a concluding remark?
Yes. Chairman, yes, I think if I just, by way of illustration, could mention something here.
You politically call a chairperson.
Chairperson, did I say what?
He said chairman.
Chairman. So, chairperson. At least better than chair, because you're sitting on one. It's mentioned here about the 50 fruit farmers that it gives them each 200 hectares, give them each 4 hectares of fruit, which is it's not really profitable. And there's also the 40 beef and goat farmers and so on. Now, what I'm saying is that we have these figures, but really it's very small figures. And if we want to have 200,000 up-and-coming farmers being graduated or upgraded, we need a long-term plan. Farming, or like any business, but farming in particular, is at least a 30-year planning process. If you look at what you have to put in, it takes a generation to build a farm from nothing to something, if you're lucky. So if we are going to have a... To speak to the mandate of this department, I think we should start drawing up a plan, a 30-year plan, or 25 or 30 or 40-year plan. We have to start looking at that. We have to look at our water resources. We have to look at the pollution. We have to look at underutilized land, trust lands. We have to look at a lot of things. Now, is it possible? It's not a question you could answer perhaps so quickly, but is it possible that in this financial year that this department can start working on a 30-year plan? Because if you don't do it, you're going to add on pieces, and you're never going to get your budget that you need because you cannot provide Parliament with a 30-year plan. Because you have to, on a wine farm, for instance, you have to start renewing your vineyards after about 20, 30 years. It depends on what type it is and how hard they work, the vines. So you've got to have a plan of stepping into it. Now, if you're going to do the same in this country by stepping into it step by step, developing this country's agriculture, then you can say, okay, you're going to have a rural development looking like this in 25 or 30 years' time. So you must work toward a goal, and you must start to print that blueprint, and then we can start adding the finances to it, and you must come up with this plan. You must execute this plan. You must draw it up and execute it. If we are not doing this, I warn you, you're going to be frustrated in your department. You're going to plot forward year by year. Maybe you're going to clean up. I see the finance guys, they gave us some detail here. We could ask questions on. But you're going to plot forward, and you're going to be frustrated and never get to the goal. You must be, you can't work on a five-year plan. You cannot. Not in agriculture. You have to look at the long term. So if you could just say, answer me very shortly, if you would be able to do this in this year, and what would you need to do this? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gutoy. Those are the kinds of details you are now almost already on. We did speak, and again also Dr. Bosman made reference to the same issues. You know, getting into the details, you're almost into that exercise now already. Unless you want to start it now, then we can continue until midnight.
I just want to know if they've already thought about it, and if they would be able to do it in this year. It's a simple yes or no, or we haven't thought about it, we have thought about it. Because, you know, that's all.
Well, what I'm referring to is that the extent in which the challenges are in the department. We had, and this is not in the what's called programs yet, thought about getting to enter into such an exercise together with the department and engage in an exercise that seeks to strategically tell us where exactly are we going. Those are the details we are referring to. Now, because we are confronted with that reality, especially now that, you know, there is forestry and also fisheries that have since been brought on board, to a point where you may, you know, safely say, since we got into this committee last year, May or June, somewhere, we've literally been dealing with issues of, you know, piecing this department together for all intents and purposes, with all the nuances involved when you are to create a new structure, if I may wish to call it. You have those teething problems. However, it does not and it can never be an excuse for non-delivery. So the two must go together. Teething problems and delivery to measurables that have been outlined. I think we are in the same page. Maybe once in a while it happens. Thanks for that. Members, we have highlighted, among others, and that of course is food for thought, education and agriculture. Education here, we talk to colleges that are being revived, some and some are still to be revived. And most importantly, working together with basic education, where you have farming activity, but no one subject called agriculture being taught in any of those schools. I'm talking about my own experience. But I'm sure you have a number of other experiences elsewhere, similar to such. But in any rule, there is always an exception. Specifically here in the Goha area, Patensi, Hanki, those places, during vacation, those children, they go for plantations. But in their curriculum, there is no one subject. I'm not talking about college. I'm talking about a subject called agriculture offered at school. Now, I visited the faculty dean at the University of Pretoria last week, if not week before last. Again, you know, a need to grow and develop your verse, especially black verse, could not be overemphasized. They certainly have an interest as a verse council to come before our committee and also talk about their own program as a briefing. I must emphasize, DG, that it's urgent now that we have those pieces of legislation, whether draft amendments or those that need overhauling. It's urgent. Before we rise, we seriously need to have a sense so that we are able to plan, you know, for beginning of year with a very clear idea as to where serious interventions are needed. One of those is the very same issue I'm referring to on that. Now, those students there, upon finishing college, it's business as usual for them. They simply go on private practice. And yet, the country is contributing towards them being, you know, verse of this or that nature. Now, the law has to be amended. It has not as yet. I must also mention that though we did not talk boldly about it, affordable and accessible finance remains one of the major problems when it comes to growing, especially those smallholder farmers. I use this word guardedly, accessible and affordable. We have just had a transformation hearing wherein we seriously lambasted UTG. I forgot to mention this. For having left the committee in session and having left your officials, your colleagues, who couldn't answer specific questions. And unfortunately, we had to cancel the meeting before we conclude on a number of those areas. But we did actually request that we be given a written reply to those questions. It would be appreciated, therefore, that we get those no written replies. We had started at the end of August a process of your expenditure, what do you call that? Quarterly expenditure trend. Sorry? We have started a process of a quarterly expenditure trend of the department. We would wish sometime in November that we get back onto that session so that we get a sense, as I say, so at the end of August, I think it was 30th of August, that before we rise in November, we get back on those issues again. I had thought personally, TG, that when we say, you know, the Maputo Declaration had agreed on a 10% of total budget of countries that signed, South Africa being one of those, that South Africa would be saying to the country, Department of Agriculture, Foreign Fisheries would be saying to the country, here is the Maputo Declaration, please increase our budget. You're not doing that. You're not doing that And I would imagine that you're supposed to be, you know, really raising that flag, you know, the Maputo beautiful flag. Tomorrow we're going to be receiving a report, annual report on Mekha Farm. We're very disappointed. Mr. Yu, we're supposed to have received a report having had a visit beginning of February this year. And the situation there has since gone so seriously bad with invasions that have been taking place. And the farmers there who are literally calling and yearning for a relocation. We only have one member of the board who is the DDG of Mekha Farm. So we are expecting, what's his name? Sorry about that. We did not hear. And who is asking? Anyway, those are the kind of issues we'll be getting. But as I said, we're supposed to have had a report from Mr. Titi, who was with us in that visit. We did not get any report whatsoever. But those are the issues for tomorrow. I think we are done until we meet tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Mama Buza, as our elderly.
Chairperson, I just want to say something. It's good to criticize and it's also good to appreciate. Last week in my province, Chairperson, teachers were trained for the whole week for chicken farming. And they will be going for the second time for pig iron. And I would like to say that is the beginning, because education has sent its teachers for training at Mazibambela Agriculture College. We need to appreciate, Chairperson, that something is taking place. And if it's done by the provincial department, let it also go to other provinces. We really must appreciate. Tomorrow, Chairperson, with your apology, in our visit to Mekha, the name of Mr. Horse always came up. Can the DG allow Mr. Horse tomorrow to be part of our discussion tomorrow, so that it can give us light, Chairperson? Because the annual report that is in my office, issues that are reflected there are not issues that were raised on the ground by the people affected. So that you can be able to clarify some of the things for the good of those people down there themselves. Thank you.
Members, we're meeting at 10 tomorrow. I'm informed. Yeah. It's the M201. As I said, we're having not building, correct? Next to your office. No, man. We'll have to sweep that office before we meet there. Members, we're meeting tomorrow at 10 at the M201. And as I said earlier on, that this is a season until, you know, 22nd of October, the deadline for us to submit all of these reports. and the findings on the annual report. So unfortunately, we'll be missing until we did receive all of us the program, right? We'll be missing until Friday this week, literally each day. Sorry? Monday, I mean Friday will be 9 until 12:30. On Friday. It's all the same stuff on annual reports being by entities. Tomorrow is NERCA, the other day is OVP, and so on and so forth. Members, I think we are now adjourned, and thank you for your time, and good night. Until tomorrow at 10.